$22 billion from HHS to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion scholarships in Burma. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody knows what that is. $8 million to promote LGBTQI+ in the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of.
All right, so that was President Trump. That's just a part of what he was talking about and all the cuts that they have found in the budget. You've been hearing that on the news, but last night in the State of the Union address, it was a different setting, and we're going to talk about it a bit. We have two topics, actually, today. Coach Tuberville will be joining us because he was in that chamber last night. So he has some observations, and I'm going to give you just a few of mine to begin with. First of all, President Trump kind of looked at the Democrats, who by now, you know, the women had dressed in pink and they sat there sullen, kept holding up cards that said lies and other things like that, would not clap even when a girl who's been brain damaged by a spike ball from a transgender, from a man playing volleyball with her, brain damaged as she was recognized last night, and they didn't even smile. And so President Trump just continued to really direct a lot of his comments to them. I don't think in a condescending way, but in a very direct, this is what you have done. It was very hard for them to hear. And so early on in his speech, they began to yell and make noise and try to disrupt so that you couldn't hear. And Al Green, Congressman Al Green from Texas, was one of the worst offenders on that. And then suddenly Mike Johnson did this. Let's listen.
Mr. Green, take your seat. Take your seat, sir. Take your seat. Finding that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
All right. So then that took a while and they escorted him out. It's really sad. I think it made Trump kind of sad in a way, President Trump. He was trying to reach out to them in a way. It was really masterful. He actually called them out for the things that they were doing. And then he actually said this. This is clip 8.
Democrats sitting before me, for just this one night, why not join us in celebrating so many incredible wins for America? For the good of our nation, let's work together and let's truly make America great again.
All right. Well, that's just, it was amazing. The whole night was amazing. I've never been to a more engaging State of the Union. I've never listened, and I've been doing this for years. And I'll have more to say a little bit later in the show, but Coach Tuberville is going to join us, and he certainly has his comments because he was right there in the chamber. But first, as long as the abortion pill is legally mailed and taken in all 50 states, no state can be abortion-free. Abortion pills carry distinct risks to mothers and death to babies, and now accounts for over 60% of all abortions. Preborn's network of clinics shine a light into this darkness by offering free services to women considering the future of their baby, including the abortion reversal pill. This powerful remedy can help reverse the curse of this toxic medication. Preborn reaches into the heart of babies and mothers and with God's love and compassion, and to date they have rescued over 300,000 babies. Your tax-deductible monthly support of any amount is crucial in the fight for life. All proceeds go toward life, and together we can reverse this horrible curse. Saving babies isn't just about one life. It's about saving the heartbeat of the entire nation. To donate, please go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. You can email us. And by the way, we're going to be doing an email show pretty soon here at sandy@afr.net. Love hearing what you have to say, and share as many of your email as I can on the air. You can also call us at 662-821-2425. 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can find us on social media platforms, and you can also go to sandyrios.com, listen to the show, and find out more about what we're doing. All right, we'll sit back and relax, and after the music, the first voice you're going to hear is the voice of Coach Tommy Tuberville, the senator from Alabama, on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back.
Call me Coach, Sandy. Call me Coach. I'm only Coach up here.
Okay, that's for sure. You have amazed me. I think I've told you this before, and this is not just, I have no reason to flatter you. I'm just telling you, you have brought your strength, your character to what you do. You've taken on the hardest issues, and I'm really impressed and grateful, because that has not happened in all the years. I was in D.C. and watching everything. Hardly anybody ever does that, and so I'm very grateful to you. So,
well,
I should have
thank
put,
you. It's... At least we got a chance now. We didn't have a chance my first 4 years.
Yeah, yes. It's our pleasure this morning after the president's speech in that joint chamber of Congress last night, that amazing speech, and after also an incredible disappointing vote on Monday on the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. They two kind of mold together, and no one has more to say about this with authority than Coach Tommy Tuberville, who was, of course, the coach for 40 years at Auburn in Alabama, and has brought his character, his strength to the Senate floor, and I'm grateful. So good morning, Coach Tuberville. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sandy. It's kind of like having a big game last night. We got it over with. We won the game, and enthusiasm was high. And, you know, I went 4 years to Joe Biden's nonsense, and of course they had to pump him up and drug him up just to get him to the floor to speak for 30 minutes. But I tell you, it was fun to watch, fun to hear, and it was fun to watch the Marxists, I don't even call them Democrats anymore, them, you know, complain about everything that Donald Trump said, because, you know, he's ruining their power and he's taking it away from them, and he is getting America back first.
It really was stunning. You know, I've been doing radio and media since the 90s. And it's been sometimes a privilege, mostly a duty, to watch all of these speeches. You know, I used to handwrite as I would listen, because we didn't have clips in the early years of when I was doing radio. And so, you know, I had to sit through a lot of bad speeches, and Joe Biden was really, honestly, one of the most painful. And so last night was, I actually saw people smile that I've never seen smile before.
You're exactly right. And again, when you go through the misery that we went for 4 years, you know, I would have loved to be able to set up here and tell people back in Alabama, okay, Joe Biden, you know, he wasn't real good, but he had this win and he had this win. He didn't have any wins. He didn't do anything for the American people. He took away from the American people. He added just thousands to government and made it bigger. And of course, he tried to empower all the Democrats with all this climate hoax and racism and LGBTQ and all the things that they try to group together to get their support. But it was just fun last night to see all Americans. It was fun to see the Democrats wear pink and act like they're for women, which they are not, by the way. And I know we'll talk about that, but it was, you know, they acted just absolutely stupid. They didn't stand up for anything when it came to bipartisanship. They all looked at their phone most of the night. It was very disgraceful how they handled themselves. But again, that's That's the Marxist Democrats for you. And, you know, the American people are taking this country back over again with the leadership of President Trump.
Yeah, it's really such an overwhelming move. It really is. I mean, you can watch it. It's actually interesting to watch because I've never seen the Democrats really be cowed like I think they were last night. They started out kind of trying to yell, and then Al Green, I guess, was the loudest yeller. He's the Democratic Texan who serves in the House. And they actually, Johnson had him removed from the chamber. Now, they knew they were not supposed to disrupt like that. You guys probably had. Did you get directions of how to behave in the chamber, or is it just understood you should know that?
Oh, yeah, you should know that. And, of course, you know, we had, you know, Joe Biden, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene said a few words a couple of times. But there was no really signs being held up or people getting up and walking out. Half the Democrats had left by the end of the speech last night. Let's talk about really their problem. Their problem is they have no vision for the future. They have zero leadership. Chuck Schumer this Hakeem Jeffries, you know, you could tell that they orchestrated all that last night. And there's some good people on the Democratic side. Just unfortunately, they're held captive by if you do anything that looks positive, you will not get any campaign money. That's exactly how they handle it. And it's just unfortunate that we're going through this time. But thank God President Trump got elected. J.D. Vance is in there doing a great job. And the cabinet that they have put together, let me tell you, I've met every one of them, and it is just unbelievable how America first these people are. And they're all into getting the fraud out of our government, cutting waste, and getting the country back for American people.
You know, I think people, according to, you know, the president's polls are really high right now, amazingly high for someone who's so hated, you know. He has these great polls. People understand, Senator, and they've awakened, you know. They finally awakened to, I think, what the truth is. And last night, I think the Democrats just showed the truth of what's happening there. And I think, they did us a big favor. Now, okay, so the women, I don't know why the guys didn't dress in pink, you know, what's the big deal? But the women, the Democrats dressed in pink, the women. That was, I think, in response, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, to the vote that took place Monday night on the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. And by the way, to remind all of you, we just did a show on this on Monday. And what happened was it was a cloture vote, which means that you have to get 60 votes in the Senate, and it's a vote to vote. You have to vote in order to vote. And so what happened with that, Senator Tuberville? Tell us what happened.
Well, I've been orchestrating this bill for now 4 years, Sandy, and this is the third vote that we've had on this, and two under Joe Biden, and, of course, not one Democrat voted for it, so it didn't pass. And then this is the first time that we've been in charge. We put it on the floor. I knew it wouldn't pass. But if I'm the leader of the Democratic side, I tell the ones that are running for office in a year and a half, say, listen, let's get this out of the way. They're going to hammer us with it for the next 2 years. Let's go ahead and vote this through and get on with life. But they didn't do it. They voted it down again. And it just shows you 80% of the people across the country, Democrat and Republican, are for keeping biological boys and men out of women's sports. 80%. And you don't get anything 80% across this country, but it's just one of the things that's going to cause, and I'm predicting it's just going to cause Democrats across this country to turn Republican. And this is just no nonsense. It is no common sense. And it just absolutely shows the dictatorship and how they want to handle this country, because women are a half of this country, and they are just downplaying them. They're running Title IX into the ground. They're trying to keep young girls from even getting into sports. And they say, well, we don't hurt the feelings of a few. Well, you're hurting the feelings of many when you take girls' sports away from these young people that learn so much.
We talked to Caitlin. It's Caitlin. I can't think of her last name. She's one of the swimmers who she did such a great job. And, of course, you're right. I mean, these girls work their whole lives. This is, people have heard this. They do work their whole life, especially if you have a child who's a swimmer. They have to dedicate themselves to it hours and hours. They don't really have a life otherwise. And to work that hard and then get to that point in your sport in college and have it taken by a gangly, tall man who, you know, is a mediocre swimmer And then in addition to that, have to have him in the changing room with you. I mean, it is really disgusting, but I think even further than that, and I'm sure you would agree with me on this, Coach, the damage, physical damage that has happened to women trying to compete with men. You think about the boxer at the Olympics, and last night, of course, President Trump had 19-year-old Peyton McNabb in the gallery upstairs. Can you just briefly tell us that story about Peyton McNabb and why she was there?
Yeah, well, she was a volleyball player. And volleyball is becoming more and more fun to watch. People are getting more interested in it. It's a great sport, especially for women. And she was participating in a volleyball game. They had a transition boy-man on the other side playing on the other team. And the ball went real high on the side of the boy, and he just spiked it. He hit it as hard as he possibly could. It hit the young girl in the head, caused brain damage, and she has been in and out of rehab ever since. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that the Democrats, they didn't even stand up and praise her for going through a very, very tough time for the last year or so through this injury. So it is, as you said, Riley Gaines is the young girl that swam for Kentucky. She worked all of her life, and Leah Thomas, the boy, their man, swam against her, and he's twice her size. But it's just unfair, and you just said it's unsafe. You know who I've got to be friends with is Caitlyn Jenner.
Really? Jenner, yep.
And he is obviously transitioned and to a lady, and I talked to him, but he is so against men competing in women's sports. He is one of the big advocates for that, and he's come out on television and on Fox and done podcasts about how dangerous it is, how unfair it is, and it's good to see somebody like that that's in a situation that people can understand. And he said, "I should never be able to compete against a woman because it's not a competitive sport." And just unfortunately, the Democrat Marxist group has just absolutely just taken this by the horn and said, the heck with women. We don't care about women. We care about our power. And this is one of our situations where we feel like we can get votes.
You know, Coach, I was president of Concerned Women for America in Washington, D.C., and of course we represented, we didn't do just women's issues. But certainly I did notice our big opponents were the National Organization for Women, who were very powerful then. And always on any issue, they were all in for whatever advanced the wackiest, most leftist cause to the detriment of women. And that, of course, included abortion. Abortions were harming women. Now the French abortion pill is doing horrible damage to women. They're not reporting it. But they're all in. The women's groups are all in. The things that they're all in for, like this transgender women competing with real women, are harmful to women. That's the irony. It hurts women. And I don't know. Someday I should write an article about that because it's really the irony and the awfulness of it is very evident with those women sitting last night in pink and not standing for Peyton McNabb, who was brain damaged because she was hit by a boy with spiking a ball. It's really horrible. Exactly. All right,
yeah.
Now you've been...
Well, you should do an article and try to interview each woman senator, which is, I don't know, 7 to 10 of them. I don't know how many they've got over there. Every one of them always votes against women's sports. They all have daughters. They all have granddaughters. And I'd just like to... They should have to explain their stance on this and why it is so important for them to stand up against women instead of stand beside them and protect them. It makes no sense whatsoever.
No issue really has pointed that out any better than this one. Okay, so you have, I want to make this clear, you alluded to this, but I do want to say, for after reading this, that you started out as a coach for women way, way, way back. And so this is an issue really close to your heart. You've been fighting it since the very beginning and since you got into the Senate. You already said that. This has come up several times. It hasn't passed any of those times. So now it went down on Monday night. What's next? Surely there's going to be another vote at some point.
Yeah, first of all, Title IX started about 52 years ago, and I'd gotten into coaching giving up my age here a little bit, but I got into coaching, and my first team was girls basketball. And back in those days, you had maybe a couple of women's sports, but you had about 10 or 15 men's sports. But Title IX passed, and it may said, listen, whatever sport you have, you got to have reciprocal to women. And Title IX, Sandy, is the best thing to happen to women in this country from Washington, D.C., as a federal standpoint. It's given young people an opportunity to grow through leadership, learning, working as a team member, learning how to win, learning how to lose. And it's gotten better and better. But I don't know what has happened, but these women, they're fighting back against this. They're fighting back against young girls and more women getting power. Again, it's nonsensical of why they're doing it. But again, it's been the best thing to ever happen. And there's a lot of things against women right now that's in sports is going. It's going to destroy it if we don't watch it. But the game plan, as you just asked, is we're going to go forward with this. We'll probably wait till the summer. We'll try to bring it up on the floor again. They're going to have a chance to rectify their bad vote again and again before the next election. But they're not going to change their mind. You know, they've taken a stance. Chuck Schumer is ordering all these people on his side to vote against it. But we're going to expose them to the American public.
I love it. And it's the Protection of Women and Girls Sports Act. And by the way, we should add quickly before we say goodbye here that President Trump did sign an executive order banning this. And so we do have that for the next 4 years, but we have to have something in writing. We have to have a bill coming out of Congress, and that's what Senator Tuberville is working to achieve. So, Coach, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Yep. God bless you, sir. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy, that's preborn.com/Sandy.
God raises up leaders who follow his direction and serve him faithfully.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Those who refuse to compromise his standards.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
The feature-length documentary, Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war,
We're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Well, that's the voice of Don Wildman, my good friend, who I worked with closely in Washington, D.C. Sandy Rios with you in this moment. This movie, Culture Warrior, is now available. It's free, and you can watch it now. It will tell you the story, and you're going to love it. Go to culturewarrior.movie. That's culturewarrior.movie.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back.
And boy, isn't that the truth. That was just the wind-up for the pitch. President Trump sort of started low-key last night, and when Melania came into the gallery upstairs, she looked very consternated to me. She just looked worried. And President Trump did, too. I watched his countenance, and he looked just like there were other things on his mind. But let me just, before I tell you what I think might have been happening, let me just say that he wound up and did, it was electric once he got going. But I found out later in the evening that actually Antifa had tried to blockade the motorcade and to keep him from getting to the Capitol. The Secret Service, I guess, heard about it in some form or fashion, and they created a dummy motorcade, and President Trump was able to get there. But we can't even imagine what goes through their heads and what they are, you know, living through, because they don't tell us everything. But I think that's what happened leading up to that. I have never seen so many smiles in my life as I saw in that room. And people smiling whose smiles I've never seen, like Senator John Thune. I've never seen Senator John Thune smile, and yet he had, you know, this huge smile on his face. And the Republicans, many of them, of course, like Thune, would not be in the position of having so many really successes if it weren't for President Trump's influence, because he's dragged them, you know, kicking and screaming. But they're kind of enjoying now, you know, the accolades that they're receiving from having done something right. And that's okay. That's really okay. Whatever it takes to convene and unify them, that's fine with me. The excitement was just incredible. The one thing I noticed is that the three most conservative Supreme Court justices, at least from my perspective, were not there. And the other six were. You know, Roberts was there, Amy Coney Barrett, Kavanaugh. I don't know that they were all that warm in greeting President Trump. I don't understand that part. But the missing justices were Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, and Justice Gorsuch. I don't know where they were. I'd love to know. Maybe there's something. There's obviously things I don't know. But they were missing last night. The Joint Chiefs were there, and as President Trump walked past them, it was really interesting to watch it. That's one of my favorite parts about the State of the Union. I love to watch the body language, you know, because that's why I always turn to like C-SPAN or someplace where the anchors will just be quiet, because I want to watch the interactions, and sometimes they'll have a mic there where you can hear what they're saying. That's as interesting as anything any pundit could say. But as he passed the Joint Chiefs, I noticed, I don't know their names. I don't know them individually. I know the new chairman, but I don't know him by sight yet. So there was a couple of warm greetings. They didn't hug because they're, after all, generals. But a couple of them were pretty cool. So I'm thinking that perhaps, you know, the whole purge has not happened yet at the Pentagon or on the Joint Chiefs. It's an interesting time, isn't it? If you haven't seen it, it's worth it to go back and watch President Trump's entire speech last night, the State of the Union. You'll get excited when you hear what he's doing. You will get excited. He talked, of course, about the fact that we are going to sign that deal with Zelensky. We're going to sign that deal. He's apologized and says he'll meet anytime, anywhere. So that's going to happen, which is going to shut a lot of people up after the criticism of Trump in that interaction in the Oval Office a few days ago. But there are a lot of things happening. He addresses a lot of them. And I just, again, I recommend you go. You will not be wasting your time. Get some pops and popcorn and watch it tonight instead of your, you know, a movie. And you will not be disappointed. Well, I want to get back now to what Coach Tuberville and I were talking about. That's the Protection of Women and Girls Sports Act. And let me do it this way. This is a news report out of Maine, News Center Maine. Let's listen.
In Washington tonight, Senate Democrats voted to block a bill that aims to prohibit transgender women from participating in women's sports. The bill, named the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, sought to determine Title IX protections based solely on a person's reproductive biology and genetics at birth. It needed 60 votes to pass, but failed along party lines, 51 to 45.
So it did get voted down on Monday, as Coach Tuberville told us, but the vote was 51 to 45. So all the Republicans, 51 of them, voted in favor of the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, and all 45 Democrats voted against it. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Because it's simply, and even actually, in fact, last night in the gallery was a young girl named Peyton McNabb, and Peyton was a volleyball player. She was in the middle of a game, and a transgender woman, a.k.a. a man, spiked the volleyball ball and hit her in the head and did brain damage. Just terrible. It's been horrific for her. She's 19 years old now. President Trump recognized her in the gallery. And none of the Democrats acknowledged her at all. They didn't stand. They didn't clap. And yet the female Democrats in that area all wore pink and were resisting President Trump's everything that he said. But the reason they said they wore pink is to stand up for women. Stand up for women. Now, let me talk about that for a second. I mentioned this to Coach Tuberville, but I've had a chance to kind of lay my thoughts out a little bit because I think this is important. When I was president of Concerned Women for America, we were the largest women's policy organization in the country. They probably still are. It wasn't that we did just women's issues. We did everything from Supreme Court nominations to, you know, what was ever happening in the culture, mostly morality related. But my opponent, often when I would debate on television, was the head of the National Organization for Women, whoever it happened to be at the time, because they were a very powerful group at that time. So I debated them on many, many things. But the thing that I realized was, and I couldn't figure it out at first, I've grown up since then, so I know a lot more than I did know then. And that is the so-called women's groups who are all about women's rights really don't give a whit about women. And I'll make my case for you. When abortion was being debated, and of course it's been debated since 1973 and before, but this was 2001 to 2003, 2004, the issue of reproductive rights was, you know, high on the burner. Also, the partial birth abortion ban, that horrendous procedure that tears a baby apart and then crushes the skull and delivers them head first, or feet first, actually. It's just horrendous. And they were in favor of that. They were all about that. They were all about the French abortion pill. They still are. And even though we know, I've told you, this may be not making headlines because they don't like to print, the press doesn't like to print this, but the French abortion pill is two pills. You've heard me say this. The first one kills the baby. The second one expels it. And women are giving birth, so-called, at home, in their bathrooms, by taking these two pills. The baby comes out in some form or fashion. It's very traumatic. You think that's not going to affect women for their lifetime? To think what they actually did? No longer is an abortionist doing this. This is the woman willfully taking that pill. She will never forget what she did. Besides the trauma of giving birth by yourself and all the pain and all of the mess that comes from that, that's what they do. That's what they experience. No one seems to want to talk about it. And the National Organization for Women and the women you saw in pink there to, you know, represent the rights of women, well, not so much. That's really not what they care about. I don't know what drives them, except it's not women's rights. And then, of course, this whole business of men playing in women's sports has really helped us to see that they don't care about women. You think of Riley Gaines, you think of all the, like Peyton McNabb that I just mentioned, all the damage done to girls who have spent a lifetime preparing. That's their life, that sport. That's what they've really poured their heart and soul into. And to watch a man just take all the medals, just run away with all of it is bad enough. But then if women start getting beaten literally, physically, in a boxing ring and then knocked out and brain damaged in a volleyball game, isn't that like not being in support of women? Well, I'm just telling you, it's always this on other issues too. They don't really care about women. That's the irony. And I hope that America's eyes are opened up through this. And we certainly hope that, thank God for President Trump signing an executive order to stop this nonsense. This dangerous nonsense, I might add. And not only that, but the other thing, of course, was the trauma of these young girls having to shower and be in the changing room with men who have, they are still men. Doesn't matter what they call themselves. It's traumatic. It's harmful. And yet these women who claim to be defending women don't care. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's got to change. We know what happened in the Senate on Monday night. We know that Coach Tuberville has truly been the leader to get this thing passed. And there are elections coming up. We have mid-year elections. We need to take names and remember who it is. All the Democrats voted against the protection of women in sports. So just don't forget that when the midterms come around, sooner than we might actually like them to come around. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to Coach Tuberville. He is just such a gentleman and just fun and such a great leader. And I truly am grateful for his leadership. I bet you are too. I hope you enjoyed it. I bet you did. And before we say goodbye, I want to thank Timothy Plan because they make it possible for me to talk to people like Coach Tuberville. And they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.